This is VSiN, the sports.
Welcome to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Town number two, Will Hill, Josh Ostrowski, right here on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. We have week one of the NFL preseason done and dusted, but we're chomping at the bit. We are salivating over the fact that the NFL season, for real, is about to be in our lives and to hopefully have some winners for us. Connor Allen, who you want to check out on the Move the Line podcast, he joins us here on this Sunday morning. Connor, I'll start here. It's preseason football, so obviously you're going to take anything that you see with a grain of salt. But if there is one takeaway that you have that you'd like to share with the audience, that bigger picture may mean something. I know it's a very broad, wide-ranging question. You could take it any which way you'd like. I tee it up to you in that way. How would you like to take it, good sir?
Yeah, I think one just like broader stroke here is that certain players who are supposed to step into bigger roles either did or not, right? So we have a guy like Omar Cooper in the first round NFL draft pick, playing right now wide receiver 4, playing on the 6th drive of offense. Looks like there were some rumors that he was going to be jumped by slot receiver Isaiah Williams and that he was behind A.D. Mitchell. That looks to be the case as of now. And this would be really surprising to last long into the season, but that looks like it's going to happen right away. So I took some unders on Omar Cooper. It was like 500. I think there's still some around at 450. I think that could be interesting. You know, he's going to play more, obviously, as the season goes on, but looks like he's going to have a slow start. And then the opposite, though, the inverse could be true. Some of the other rookies or players that were kind of in newer roles, playing a ton with the first team or, you know, playing really well. I think all of that stuff can matter. Obviously, a little bit of a grain of salt there, as you mentioned.
All right, Connor, just general thoughts here, general betting strategies for these player props season long, because I used to bet a bunch unders where if a guy get hurt, you're going to win. If a guy got benched, you're going to win. It seems like the market's gotten a little sharper in pricing these guys, where now, as long as they stay healthy, man, those unders are dangerous. Do you have just some general advice for how you attack these player props season-long standpoint?
Yeah, so I still lean towards the unders on everything, basically. So I went through the last 5 years of season-long player prop data, and every year they've been profitable just blind betting the unders. Now, I'm not saying you should do that. Obviously, there's some variance. I think you can have a better hit rate by being a little bit more choosy and pick, because as you mentioned, the lines are moving down. The median lines are for sure going down. They're adjusting for some of this, undoubtedly. But that being said, I think that still leaning under on season-long props is the move because, like you said, there's so many outs. A guy can get injured, or if it's a quarterback, his offensive line gets banged up and he can't throw the ball as far. A receiver, top receiver gets injured, or maybe he's just not playing well or doesn't mesh well with the offense. There's a million different ways that things go wrong. There's only a couple of ways that things go right. But that being said, when I am taking it over, instead of laying the -115, I love betting alt over it. So if you know his line is around 700 yards, I like taking 750 or 1,000 plus yards or even 1,250 plus yards, because the research that I did showed that players, when they did go over, didn't just go over by a little bit. They went over by an average of 35% and then a median of 25%. So you might as well take the extra bit there and take the alt over and get some extra juice.
Okay, Connor, a guy, if you bet him last year as an under, you cashed in, you cashed big, was Brock Bowers. His offensive line was dreadful. Geno Smith was pathetic, and he missed time. This year, there are going to be a lot of people who do these player props, who do fantasy football, that have PTSD, and they're like, oh, I just can't count on Brock Bowers to stay healthy. You're saying, hey, go invest, go buy, monstrous year awaits. Make the case for why it's going to be a monstrous year for Brock Bowers.
Yeah, so coming out of last season, some of the coaching staff and some of the analytics staff have said that their goal was to get him to having to break all tight end receiving records and just feed him the ball as much as possible. And then they go out, they have no pass catching options. I mean, he is like basically the only option outside of Trey Tucker, Jack Besh, doesn't matter. Then they get to add a new system here. Coming over from the Seahawks, I'm really excited for this Raiders team offensively, because then you have better offensive line. They sign Kirk Cousins. They draft from Fernando Mendoza. I think that gives them such a great safety net, because if Kirk Cousins is not playing well, they can go to Fernando. I think that Kirk is going to last for a while. All of the, you know, drumbeat out of the Raiders camp is that they want Fernando to be in the Tom Brady mold, the long-term sitting behind Kirk Cousins. I don't fully buy that, to be honest, entirely, because they're probably not going to win a ton of games. But I do think that he could last for a while. And if Kirk is playing well, Brock is eating. And if he's not playing well, they're going to move on to Fernando, who I think is good enough to at least make Brock an immediate impact right away. So for me, again, this is mostly about staying healthy. You can get 1,000-plus yards, plus money, 1,250-plus yards, plus money. And I think some of the long-shot markets could be pretty interesting too. I did take a sprinkle on Offensive Player of the Year at like 75-1 as well, if things really, really break his way.
Connor, what is the one team you have an extreme opinion on, way higher than the market, way lower than the market?
Yeah, that I think there's two teams that I'm definitely higher or lower. I don't know if I have any extreme ones. I would say it's tough to be too much extreme on the Miami Dolphins, but I think that they have a chance to be one of the worst teams in recent memory. Just if you look at them on paper, right? So you have no pass catchers. It looks like Caleb Douglas, mid-round pick, is going to be the wide receiver one. And then you have Malik Washington, Tutu Atwell, just no pass catchers for Malik Willis, the quarterback who has never had more than 23 pass attempts in a game, was, you know, a faller in the NFL draft, played terrible in Tennessee, and then had two good starts with the Packers in a system with a good offensive line, good receivers, and an awesome scheming surrounding. Now he goes to a system where he has a terrible offensive line, no pass catchers, and then a Bobby Slowick offense that Bobby Slowick has never been a good offensive coordinator in his career outside of maybe some fleeting moments in Houston with way more talent. And Jeff Hafley, a defensive coordinator who I don't maximize his talent in Green Bay defensively. So I'm worried about this Miami Dolphins team overall, and their defense is really bad too. And it might expose Malik Willis, who's never in his NFL career been like kind of a come from behind quarterback, which he's going to need to be a lot. So I'd place him under 4.5. There's under 3.5 of plus money. That's about as far as I'd go. I think that this team is the worst on paper team in the league, roster wise, even worse than the Arizona Cardinals, who are, I think, have a lower win total at this point, but have some more talent. They have actual football players who are good at the sport. So excited to see how this pans out.
All right, Connor, out on my beloved Miami Dolphins. Cannot blame you on that. That said, though, you're in the player prop market. This Caleb Douglas getting a lot of hype for a third-round wide receiver, because, as you mentioned, somebody has got to catch the football, and they're going to be trailing in a whole lot of games. Did we miss, like, the numbers on him now at this point? Like, I'm going to draft him in a bunch of leagues just because I'm a dope and I'm getting suckered into it. And it's like, hey, like, on these bad teams, somebody's got to go and eat. But is it now to a point with Caleb Douglas, because he makes this nice one-handed catch in a preseason game, where his value and his prop number is just totally out of whack?
Yeah, it's interesting. He was such a nobody that they didn't even post, like, over-unders on his numbers. There's no boat, unfortunately, to even get on. But I do think you could play a long shot market, which could be fun, would be most rookie receiving yards. I don't know what the number is right now, but Jordan Tyson's hamstring, I mean, who knows? He's like, they're seeking a second opinion, and people are worried that it's just maybe over for him for this year. That's all on the table. And then Carnell Tate has been, I think there were some worries in the first preseason game. Like, I don't want to say that it's the end or anything like that, but if there's any uncertainty at the top, you know, I think a guy like Deshaun Stribling or Caleb Douglas at a long number could at least make it competitive. So I think that's interesting there. And then for Caleb Douglas specifically, I think week one to two props, I'm really interested to see where they set him. You know, they set him in the 20s or the 30s. I think that's probably a good over. You know, anything higher than that, I'd be pretty surprised, to be honest. I still think that the offense is going to be a little bit anemic, but it looks like a good player, and he's playing a ton. He looks like their wide receiver one pretty clearly, to be honest, at this point.
Last couple minutes, I give you a free $100 bet. You got to use it on some award bet. Coach of the year, MVP, rookie of the year. You tell me your best bet, free roll on me. What is it?
You know, I'll be in Vegas in a couple weeks if you're out there and you want to follow up on this, but I do think that one of my favorite awards here could be in the coach of the year market. I think when we're looking at that market, right, we need a team that's going to be an overachiever, essentially. So you're looking at a team that needs to win a bunch more games than last year. And it usually ends up being like 3+ games essentially. And so I don't know. I kind of think that with the Colts, I think that they're a team that could take another step forward. So a guy like Shane Steichen, like when the Colts were healthy last year, they were awesome. I mean, they were what 8-2, I think, with Daniel Jones as a starter, 8-4, and were crushing teams. I mean, they dropped 30+ in the Broncos. They were scoring tons of points, gobs of points on teams. And so now Daniel Jones gets injured, the end of the season, leaves a sour taste in everyone's mouth, and everyone backs away. Now you have them basically in full health. And, you know, they lose Michael Pittman. Alec Pierce should be good to go for the start of the season. But, you know, again, with Daniel Jones, the defense should be awesome too when you get Sauce and everyone healthy. I think that this team could end up winning the division. I think that they could win 11-12+ games. And then coach of the year for Steichen could make a ton of sense.
Wow, look at Connor dropping a bomb on us right before he says goodbye. I love a hot take like that because, Connor, I feel like I have not heard anything on the Indianapolis Colts one way or another throughout the course of this year. So that just like piqued my interest right there. I love it, man. I appreciate a couple of minutes. Great perspective. And we'll see you soon, okay?
Thanks, guys. Talk soon.
Great stuff. Thanks, there, Connor. From Connor Allen, the Move the Line podcast. And, well, you know, there are certain teams that like we spend a lot of time one way or another like dissecting throughout the preseason. I feel like we have done zero dissecting of the Indianapolis Colts. So we're going to piggyback on that. We're also going to dive into some odds in the NFC West because Rams seem a little too chalky right now. We'll come right back.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Welcome back. It is a loaded, and I mean loaded, VSiN Weekend Morning Line. It is Josh Ostrowski alongside Will Hill. Will, there's a lot I got to dive into what we just heard from our guy Connor. He was tremendous, absolutely tremendous. What's your take on Indianapolis this year? Because I get the argument Daniel Jones was playing some unreal football before the injury. We love Jonathan Taylor. We love Warren, the tight end out of Penn State. They'll have Sauce Gardner on that defense for a full year in theory after making the trade with the New York Jets where they grossly overpaid for Sauce Gardner. Here's my problem with the Colts. There's too much blow-up potential. They're in a tough division. Houston's got the best unit out of any team within the AFC South. That's their defense. Make the argument it's the best defense in football. Jacksonville won the division. Colts have a problem beating Jacksonville. And I have backed off my stance of maybe getting some action on Tennessee to win the division because the more and more I think about it, do I really want to bet Robert Saleh? Do I really want to bet Cam Ward with limited weapons around him? But I do think it will be an improved Tennessee team. That's my problem with the Colts. That's why I think you're seeing the betting total, which is at 7.5, make the playoffs at +170. I think there's more things that can go wrong than opposed to go right. I like Indy as an under this year myself.
It would be under passed. You've got an athletic quarterback that's coming off a major lower body injury. What, he tears ACL, and that was just a feel-good story until it wasn't, JJ. And they were starting to maybe show some cracks. Anyway, they lost a couple games after a really hot start, but it'd be under nothing. I'm not sure they can duplicate that. The quarterback, again, coming off an injury would be a concern, but it looks about right. I mean, if everything breaks right, could they get to like 8-9 wins? Sure. But, you know, like all these teams, there's always, and Connor said it well, there's more things that can go wrong that can go right. And if Jones gets hurt and misses time or isn't the same, you're probably looking at a pretty good under. And I'm with you on Tennessee. I want to talk myself into them, even though, man, if you're betting them every week, the last couple of years, you're just lighting money on fire.
It's torture.
I think the
torture.
One bet. It's horrible. Absolutely horrible. Tennessee, the Texans at 9.5 looks a little light. There's such a high floor with that defense. I know defense isn't always, you know, sticky year to year. You can go from really, really good to really bad, and there's kind of some variance there. But Houston is loaded defensively, and man, if they just handed the ball off and punted every time last year against the Patriots, they're probably moving on to the AFC title game. That defense was loaded. I think the Texans at 9.5, I had to bet anything in this division, it would be that over. I think they should be able to get to 10, even with that division, even though I can't make up my mind on Stroud. He's up and down. He was great as a rookie. He's regressed since. I think he was maybe a little bit better in the regular season than some people remember. But I think Houston getting to 10 is a pretty, you know, solid bet. I don't say safe bet. Nothing's a safe bet, but I would say a solid bet.
Totally agree. You know, I had Stanford Steve on the pod earlier this week, Will. Texan Cowboy was his Super Bowl prediction.
Oh, wow.
Battle of the State of Texas. And
what number is that?
Crazy. You do the math and look at the exactas. Crazy.
I'll find it.
Probably I have a bigger problem with the Cowboys.
Something like that?
I think more than that. I have a bigger problem with the Cowboys than I do the Texans, for what it's worth. And I like the Cowboys this year. I'm bullish on them. I'm betting them to win the NFC East. It's just Dallas come playoff time. I mean, they literally have not made an NFC championship game since Michael Jordan was playing basketball. And I think Don Mattingly had just retired from the Yankees. So I just want to throw that out there. College football season is almost here. And betting it blind is a losing strategy. Sure is. Get the VSiN College Football Betting Guide free with VSiN Pro. It has previews of 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds. That's not all. VSiN Pro also gets you the NFL betting guide, the fantasy life, fantasy football guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI power prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Try it today for just $9.99. Lock in a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to vsin.com/subscribe. That is vsin.com/subscribe. Okay, well, NFC West, I wanted to get to this.
By the way, I got that number for you.
Oh, yeah, please share.
89-1 at FanDuel. It's okay. 132-1 at DraftKings. Cowboys, Texans.
Wow.
Super Bowl. 132-1. I must, just for the fear of. We talk about it in August and we're sitting here in February.
Giving it out, precisely.
Yes.
The fact that you're giving it out, the fact that I have talked up the Cowboys this entire preseason, and I love Houston's defense. I don't know if that's necessarily my Super Bowl pick, but I have to play it. At 130-something to 1, DraftKings, take my money.
I'm with you. 132-1 is pretty good. It's amazing the price discrepancy, because I can understand, you know, $5-$10 difference. No books. Your books are not always going to have the same price on everything. But for one book to have 88-1, the other to have 132-1, that's a pretty wide gap for a major market like, you know, meeting the Super Bowl odds to win the conference, that kind of thing.
Crazy. And it just goes to show you, it's a lesson. You got to shop around with this stuff, Will. I know we talk about it all the time. You got to shop around with this stuff. Speaking of shopping around, NFC West, three teams that have legitimate cases to win it. Another team has a case to probably be the worst team that football has to offer. The odds to win the division at the moment: Rams, basically even money at plus 100. Seahawks, Super Bowl champs, 2-1 to win their division. Niners, injuries already, but a team full of pedigree, 3-1 to win the division. The Arizona Cardinals at 100-1. Anything stand out there?
I'm not backing the Rams, just because I think there is potential. When healthy, the best team, clearly the best team. They were probably the best team last year. And you have a weird scenario where the team that won the Super Bowl, not favored in the division, and probably wasn't the best team according to most people in the power rankings last year. It's just that Thursday night game that was crazy, went Seattle's way. They got the NFC title game in their building and they won another coin flip game. And the Rams kind of shot themselves in the foot, even though, you know, the Rams really moved the ball up and down the field at will, really in both those games, that late December game, a week or so before Christmas, and then again in the playoffs. It would be Seattle. Again, I think the Rams, while they're the best team, a little top-heavy. Stafford's older. I know he was great last year, but you get this weirdness with Nacua There's just, I don't know that there's a lot of depth where Seattle, if they lost a player or two, and it's the NFL, all these teams are going to lose players. It just feels like Seattle's a little bit more deeper. They're not as reliant on a couple superstars. It's just more some of the parts, and it's just a, more of a unit than the Rams, who, you know, one of five, six players gets hurt. I don't know about the depth. You can question, should they have taken for a win now team drafting Ty Simpson, 15th overall quarterback? I think Seattle has the value at 2-1. Plus the Rams schedule, especially early on, there's a lot of travel. You're going to Australia. You're playing on short weeks. Maybe middle of the season is the time you jump in on the Rams if they get off to a slow start. So I think the best bang for your buck is Seattle at plus 215. I can understand the 49ers a little over 3-1. You figure, all right, maybe they'll be healthier. Although I don't know. Wow. McCaffrey at this point, I know he caught a million balls, but you get into the point with a running back where you can't expect him to be elite anymore. And you got a good coach, you got a good quarterback, you're getting 3-1. I get it with the 49ers, but if you made me bet anything, I would bet Seattle, who, yeah, we were talking about this, JJ. Very rare do you get a Super Bowl champion that's just flying under the radar this much. But I don't know. What are your in Arizona, even if they're going to be okay and better than people think, that schedule's going to murder them. How about you? What are your thoughts? Any bets? Division, over under wins? I'll give you the floor here.
I don't have any bets on any team within the NFC West. Obviously, there's no value with the number for the Rams to go win the Super Bowl. I am thinking long and hard about the Niners over for their wins, because there's just a baseline, a pedigree of success that the team finds a way to achieve year after year after year. And I know you got to pay a premium. If you look over at DraftKings, you got a late minus 146 for their over to get to 10 wins. I think the injury conversation, Will, that's being brought up about this team right here, right now, is getting a little bit overblown. Like, they had a ton of injuries last year. In theory, they're going to get a couple of these guys back on defense that should go and help in a big way. Fred Warner coming back, Nick Bosa coming back. Shanahan is one of the best coaches in the league. You go and add Mike Evans. I don't think Deebo Samuel has a ton to give, but you put him back with the 49ers, it kind of comes full circle for him. I'm in. I think the Niners will be a 10-win team and be a playoff team this year. So if I had to make a bet within the NFC West, that'd be the one I'd make. Niners over 9.5 wins.
Could understand it. Does any of the weird – and look, it feels like it's not just a one-year thing. It feels like every year the Niners are just lead the league in games missed and games missed by key players. Does the weirdness with the car accident, does that scare you off at all? Or that's just that's a summer story and it means nothing?
Not a whole lot. It's more scary from a personal standpoint for Kyle Shanahan. And I know it's funny, I was driving in Pennsylvania yesterday on one of those like one lane roads where you got trucks coming down and people whipping it, going crazy. And I'm saying to myself, geez, focus, JJ. Focus, focus, focus. So glad everything's okay with Kyle Shanahan. When we come back, we're going to do a little futures draft of our own, Will Hill, on the MVP. We'll see whose roster we like a little better. We'll run through those odds when we come back right after this.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
VSiN is on the clock for the second annual Pro Football Futures Draft. You have 13 VSiN hosts and guests face off in a fantasy football style snake draft hosted by Dustin Sweetelson, and every pick doubles as a handicapping breakdown you can use. Win totals, division winners, player props, and stat leaders. Last year's competitors are all back for round two, joined by three newcomers stepping into the Futures Draft room for the first time. Former wide receiver, get me the damn ball, Keyshawn Johnson, comedian and sports commentator Nick Buckeye, and the guru John Hansen. Don't just watch the Futures Draft, profit from it. Tune in Thursday, August 20th, 5 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, well, we're going to have a little fun with this. You and I will not be a part of this Futures Draft. We would have kicked ass. You know it and I know it, right? We would have had great teams. Did you do this at any point or no?
No, it's probably why we weren't invited.
Can't have ringers. I know the deal. I know the deal. It's like when you set up like a little match play golf tournament, you can't bring ringers into the fold. They don't want to bring any ringers into the fold. All right, we're going to do a little MVP draft of you and me with odds. And we'll see what portfolio we like a little bit better at the end of this segment. Now, we agreed to this in the break that I would get the first pick and you would get second and third pick and I go fourth, fifth, on and on we go. How do we want to do this, by the way? You get second and third. Do I get fourth and fifth, or do we just go every other one at that point? You tell me. Oh, you make the rule.
That's a good question. We probably should have, ironed this out.
We'll go every other one. Why don't we just?
Okay. So what? We go, we'll go. Yeah, that's fine.
All right. So I have the first pick. I've been talking up this guy. I know who you're taking. Crazy. I'm not going to waste much time on it. Give me Dak Prescott, 14-1. I love the Cowboys this year. I think he's putting up monster numbers. And that's the ticket I want in my portfolio. So right out of the gate, Dak, 14-1. Boom.
Would have been my pick. I should have taken the first pick because I knew you were going to take him. I told you during the break I knew who you were going to take. I knew it was going to be Dak. I will go. So wait, I get two here or what? Or we're rotating?
You're getting two. That is correct. You're getting two.
I'll go with Herbert, Justin Herbert at 10-1. Media loves him. I know that he's got his questions to answer in the playoffs, but that's the playoffs. This is the regular season. I think with his offensive linemen back intact, I think there's a lot of talent on that team. Harbaugh is a good coach, so you should be able to get, you know, your double-digit wins. You need to win double-digit games. There's obviously a team aspect, a team element of this award, too. You need to have a good team. You're not going to win this with six or seven wins. I'm going to go Herbert at 10-1. And I'll go Mahomes at 10-1 too. He's Patrick Mahomes,
okay.
And you know you can't go wrong with Mahomes. So I feel like as long as Denver doesn't win the division, I'm covering my bases a little bit here because I have Herbert, I have Mahomes. I'll probably have the division winner again as long as it's not Knicks in Denver. I've got a division winner, and again, not only is there a team aspect, you probably need to win the division here. Very rarely do you win this award if you don't win the division. So. That which was a rare case last year with Stafford because they were a wild card, but Herbert and Mahomes are my first two picks, 10-1. Not the sexiest numbers, but happy to have those guys here.
Now to confirm, you give me one pick or two picks here.
I think one, and then we'll just rotate. Let's just go back and forth. After
I like
this.
That. I like that. My next
we're not playing for $1 million, so it's fine.
I understand that, but we're keeping a note on this. We're gonna have a little fun with this throughout the year. I'm taking Joe Burrow +850. I'm going to the top of the board here. I'm in on Cincinnati. I think they're winning double-digit games. I think their schedule is super soft. And if he plays well, he's putting up monster numbers with those two wide receivers. And I like the fact that he hasn't won the award before because you know there's some voter fatigue. Allen has won it. Lamar's won a bunch. Mahomes, Stafford's not winning it again this year. They like giving it to new guys. It's a new storyline for the league. Give me Burrow +850.
I'm going to go Jalen Hurts at 28-1, a little off the radar.
Ooh, okay.
Team success, again, is part of it. He's got the team around him. It's not, and I know he's, you know, polarizing player, up and down player, the Mike Sando athletic column with the quarterback tiers. The league voted him the 17th best quarterback, but he finished second in this award. What was it, 2022? So he's been in the mix. He's won Super Bowls. He won Super Bowl MVP. Why can't Philly bounce back, win 12 or 13 games, and then it's no lock. Hurts wins it, but Hurts is squarely in the mix here. Maybe new offensive coordinator too. A little more motion, a little more, you know, creativity, imagination in the offense helps too. I'll take a shot at a longer number here. Hurts 28-1.
All right. On the note of taking a longer number, and I don't necessarily like this team going into the year, but if they go and have a big season, the only way it happens is if Jaden Daniels is the guy he was 2 years ago. And, Will, if he puts up those numbers from 2 years ago, he will be supremely in the MVP race. Now, again, I don't think Jaden Daniels is winning the award, but at 20-1, I'm taking the shot here. Daniels, because he's a stud. If he plays, that's your pathway. That's your hope. It's a good number. Give me Jaden at 20-1.
You know, I like the Vikings this year. I'm going to go Kyler Murray at 45-1. I would like a little more.
Oh, goodness. That's and a donation.
I know.
That's a donation.
I know.
Donation.
But again, there's a team, the team aspect. And if I think Minnesota can get back to, you know, they won 14 games 2 years ago with Darnold. Darnold was kind of on the fringe of the MVP race. I'm trying to think of where he finished, but there was some MVP buzz for him middle of the year. I'm playing the upside here with the team I like. This is by far the best situation he's ever been in. He's got a defense. He's got Jefferson and Addison and Juwan Jennings to throw to, a good offensive mind in O'Connell. He's not my favorite player. He's too small. He gets hurt a lot. But he's had some good years where he's been a top 10-ish quarterback. So I'll take a shot here. Again, Minnesota, 9-8 last year with Carson Wentz, Max Brosmer, and J.J. McCarthy. And they still went over 500. I don't care what you think. You could be the biggest Murray detractor in the entire world. Murray's a massive upgrade over what you had last year, and you won 9 games last year. Could you get to 11-12 and be in the mix? Let's see. Let's take a shot here at a longer number.
Okay, I'm going back to the top of the board, but not the tippy top of the board. Let's take a shot with Caleb Williams at 12-1. The next year of being in the Ben Johnson offense. Now, I know how loaded the division is. I know how competitive it is going to be. And I, for one, don't like the Bears defense at all this season. I think it's incredibly problematic. But if they go and win the division and Caleb takes a monstrous step forward, he's got all the tools. He's got everything you want to go and be a star quarterback in this league. And he basically parlays that success, Will, of the comeback against Green Bay in the wild card round, and then almost pulling it off against the Rams with that insane fourth down throw. 12-1, Caleb Williams will be my final selection for this draft.
I get one more?
You get one more.
I got to go Josh Allen, right? Nobody's taking him. I'll take the shortest shot on the board.
Somebody had to do it. Somebody had to do it.
Yeah, you got to take him. I don't love it from a betting standpoint just because he's won it before. It's a short number. But for the sake of this exercise and just trying to win, there's only going to be one winner. So might as well. The payouts don't matter if you don't get home. So might as well just from a game theory standpoint, bank Allen here. So I am probably going to win. I don't want to, count my chickens too early, but I'm in good shape here to win this draft.
Okay, hold on a second. I think I need one more pick. Yes, I need one more pick because I thought I was even. I'm not even. I got to give you one more. I'm not taking one more to help
Malik
with that.
Willis.
No. Let's not be idiots here. Let's go. Let's stay in the
Rodgers. Take Rodgers.
No, Jordan Love.
Okay.
Jordan Love 20-1 because he's super talented. And I know all the nerd. It's funny. The nerds will. They love Justin Herbert. You know, who's the runner up to the nerds? It's Jordan Love. Now, I'm well aware of the fact that he does about 4 or 5 stupid things in every single game that drive you absolutely insane. But look at his performance and his numbers when he was out there last year. He put up some big-time stat lines. So at that price, I don't want Lamar. They're not giving him another MVP. I don't want Drake May. I think the schedule is way, way too tough. And I just think the AFC East is probably a 10-7 special. So you're not winning MVP in that regard. Let's say Jordan Love. So to recap here, you have Herbert, Mahomes, Hurts, Kyler Murray, and Josh Allen. I have Dak, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, Jordan Love. Okay. This is fun. Do we get an MVP out of any of these two rosters? That's the better question.
Yes. Yes is a monster favorite. I mean, unless Lamar wins we pretty much covered our bases. I guess Stafford can win, but yes, it would be almost shocking if we don't have the NBA. I mean, I guess Lawrence could win. We didn't like completely cover our bases, but for the most part, yes, we are a monster favorite to have the MVP among one of us.
I enjoyed that exercise, by the way. I think you had a little, I kind of wish I had the second and the third pick, but it is nice that, I got the guy that I wanted most above all, which is Dak Prescott. So I guess from that standpoint, it works out. If Dak wins the MVP, at the end of the day, that's really all that matters. We got a lot more coming your way. More guests, best bets, Sunday loaded baseball card. We'll find you some winners coming up.
VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Welcome back. Closing in on the end of hour two. It is the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. Will Hill, John Jastrzemski, and after our MVP draft, I think one thing is abundantly clear, Will Hill. Our esteemed team here at VSiN, our control room, not fans of Dak Prescott, not fans of my first pick, and certainly not fans of the Dallas Cowboys.
And not fans of you, apparently.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't know about that. You said that, not me. Maybe not a fan. I would hope they're still fans of me. It's all love, guys and gals. It's all love.
Yeah, it's look, it's fun. I can't wait to to get going here. I'll probably, and I could like have a little hedge here and just bet Dak, which I think there is some value there. You know, betting Dak, and then you know what? If you win your draft, I still cash my ticket, so I have that little way around it. But how many awards bets have you bet Dak? Have you bet anything else in terms of awards futures? How many pending bets does JJ have right now?
I got a bunch of win totals and like odds to win the conference and Super Bowl bets. The only MVP one I have is Prescott. That's the only one I have.
You bet it already?
But there have been a couple that have been thrown out on a bunch of these shows that we've done and shows that I've been kind of like made mental notes of throughout the week that I got to get on. You know, it's like pending tasks that I have within, you know, like laundry, unpacking, bet Brock Bowers over yards. Like, this is all stuff I got to do in the next few days. Well, that's all.
Yeah, and they can add up too. So money management, very important of like not running out of money where, hey, I like this bet, I like that bet. Yeah, I mean, we like a lot of bets, but you want to save some of your bankroll for the season. So kind of portioning that out, planning that out is an important part of it too.
One more note here on our MVP draft that we just did with the odds. It's pretty wild. We just rattled off 10 quarterbacks. You had five, I had five. Neither one of us took the MVP and the runner-up from a year ago. It's kind of crazy, right?
Good point. Yeah.
And if I was going to take one of the two, I'd be way more – and wouldn't you be way more willing to take May than Stafford?
Yeah, it's hard to do it back-to-back years. I don't know – like, I'm not high on the Patriots, and again, there's a correlation between the team success and the player. I just feel like Stafford at his age last year was kind of the final one, and there was some aspect where, at least maybe as a tiebreaker, that was an honorary vote, a career achievement vote, where you look at the stats, and I thought it was kind of a toss-up either way, but people say, you know what, Stafford's older, he's been around, people like him, it's probably his last chance to win. So there was there a little bit of a tiebreaker aspect to that vote, but I'm not looking to bet either one, but I get your point.
Okay, sir. Best bets. Major League Baseball, the focus here on this Sunday. All the football. Did you bet a lot of the preseason games? By the way, Paulie Howard convinced me to bet a few. Two losers. So this is why I hate betting preseason. He was all in on the Browns. He convinced me to bet the Browns. Horrendous. Absolutely horrendous.
I told you a week ago.
I took the Broncos against the Falcons.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
Yeah, I told you a week ago I like Browns plus 1.5. Willis goes right down the field, scores a touchdown.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching Quinn Ewers and whoever the third string quarterback is for Miami. And I'm like, oh my God, this is why you don't do this.
I don't lay points. I almost never lay points in the preseason, especially anything like not lay points, but anything over a field goal, man. It's just dangerous because you could say, oh, the starters are playing. Yeah, they play a drive, they kick a field goal. Then all of a sudden, you know, you got a whole lot of game left with it. It becomes a coin flip. And I liked Cleveland. I told you last week, I liked them plus 1.5. That closed -3.5, and they got absolutely blown out. After leading 10-0, they got blown out. So I agree. Even though I like betting it, I like watching it, there is an element, and you never want to have this feeling as a bettor, where if you lose, you say, man, what the hell did I just lose my money on? What the hell did I just bet on? There's definitely an aspect of that. But let's get to best bets today. I gave this out last night. Yankees, Jays under 7.5. I would still play the 7. Yankees right now are an under machine. They can pitch. They can't hit. They've got a good bullpen. You look up with all these games in the 6th, 7th inning, it's always 1-0, 1-1. It's just pulling teeth trying to get forget scoring, JJ. Just getting a runner to second base. It's been a challenge here for the Yanks. Very offensively challenged. And I'll go Reds, Marlins, first 5 under 4.5. Nick Lodolo's back for the Reds. He has one start under his belt. Pitched a few days ago. So I keep waiting for him, and it feels like him and Hunter Green are always hurt. A lot of talent for these Reds pitchers, but they're always kind of back and forth on the IL. But Perez going for the Marlins, a pitcher I like. Lodolo's got good stuff, and that 4.5 is such a key number where often that half a run is the winning run, and you can have both pitchers give up multiple runs. It's 2-2 after 5, and you still cash your under. So a couple unders for me, Yankees, Jays under, and Reds, Marlins, first 5 under are the two I like. And before I throw it back to you, I've been waiting for this to happen. I thought he might go on the IL, but he's pushed back to start. Paul Skenes was supposed to start against the Red Sox. They're going to skip his turn or kind of push him back to Wednesday. So I don't know if it's arm fatigue, if it's an injury. You almost hope there's something minor wrong with him so he can get back on track and get the velocity up. But Skenes will not go today against the Red Sox. They're going to push him back to Wednesday, JJ.
And those pictures of Paul Skenes were not AI. So when you pitch into a 4 ERA and the guts hanging out, hanging with Libby Dunn, wherever he was in Florida, not the optic that you want walking around social media and the internet. And I'm not trying to fat shame, but Paul, if you were pitching to a 2 ERA, everybody say, hey, go be you. Nobody cares. Pitching to a 4 ERA, that's a problem. And clearly his stuff, not what it was. And you know, a whole lot of people will say, hey, it's a foregone conclusion. He's going to sign the richest contract in the history of baseball. Of course, assuming there's no salary cap in Major League Baseball. Right now, there'd be a whole lot of buyer beware about giving Paul Skenes 8, 9, 10 years, whatever it might be. Okay.
Sure.
Let's get to some best bets. I'm feeling the dogs today. That is where I'm looking. Baltimore Orioles. Yes, they've won the first two games of this series against Tampa. I know conventional wisdom is going to tell you, JJ, no way in the world are the Orioles going to go into Tropicana Field and sweep the Rays. You want to know why they are? Mr. Rogers is throwing the ball much better. Frey Peralta has picked up right where he left off with the New York Mets. He's still a hot mess. I think the Oriole lineup can get to him. Alonso, who's been worth every penny the Orioles have given him, look for him to go and have a big day. I might sprinkle some total bases with him, maybe go and have some fun and take him to homer. Let's take the Orioles plus money at plus 131 in game number one. Well, you know, I don't do this very often. I know people are going to be like, oh, JJ's the Yankee guy. He's taking the Yankees. Well, be fair on this. How many times have I taken the Yankees on this show? Maybe once, maybe twice.
Not often. You liked your Knicks bets, and those were good for you, but not as much with the Yankees.
Well, listen. Those were cash cow. Anybody who had a problem with that just wasn't paying attention to what they were watching. But why do I like the Yankees today against an AL Cy Young frontrunner in Dylan Cease? Exactly that point. You're telling me the Toronto Blue Jays are only laying $1.20 or $1.25? That seems light. The reason it is light is because Ryan Weathers has thrown the ball exceptionally well over his last 5-6 starts. And Yankees have seen Cease a bunch. They saw him with Chicago, saw him a handful of times with the Padres, and Toronto's used their bullpen. They've pitched a lot of guys in these high-leverage spots. If they can just weather the storm, no pun intended, get this game to the back end, I think they do just enough here to avoid the sweep. So I like the Yankees, who nobody's going to take today. I am going to take them at plus 116. And then I'm going to take a pitcher who treated me very, very well earlier in the week when he beat his former team. Let's say it's two good starts in a row for Dean Kramer, now a Minnesota Twin. The Twins lost the first two games of this series against the Philadelphia Phillies. I know Andrew Painter has looked better as of late, but I'm going to take Minnesota even money to avoid the sweep against the Philadelphia Phillies. So Orioles plus 131, Yankees plus 116. Twins plus 101. Let's make it 3 for 3, Will, and away we go.
I'm going to join you on Baltimore, although I'm not going full game, even though you're getting the nicer payout. I'll take the first five, and I'll take the half a run with the Orioles, and I'll lay $1.35 here just because I love winning on that half a run. As soon as the national anthem ends, I'm winning my bet. So I like that aspect of it. Peralta's been bad, even with the Rays. Now, granted, his first two starts with the Rays in Colorado, in Sacramento, those are tough pitches to play, but that Rays pitching lab that everyone raves about has not turned around Peralta yet. Rogers been pretty good. I'll take that half a run here with Baltimore. Big game. Rays in good shape in the AL East, but all of these games in the American League are big because you basically have like a 15-way tie for that final wild card spot, which is just a bizarre, bizarre race there in the American League.
It is a great, great race. It's not exactly the greatest of teams competing for that final wild card spot, but hey,
no.
You play the Houston Astros, potentially. You play the Chicago White Sox, potentially. There's a pathway for whoever it might be to find themselves in the ALCS, which is crazy. When we come back, final hour of the show, Cole Thompson You check him out on SEC Unfiltered. We'll get a ton of thoughts there as far as what that conference is going to look like this year. How does that all shake out? And he's around the Houston Texans. Are they worth the Super Bowl flyer? Will and JJ, VSiN Weekend Morning Line. It's back after this.